A publisher pirated a game it financed and released it on Steam without the developer's consent, but it's gone now, and there's a very public fight about it. Tonight is March 7th, 2021, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters.
I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it.
Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say?
And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. It's here. Happy Vogue Day to everybody. Things are smooth. It's not like what happened last week. Apparently, this is a nice round number I should be celebrating, but I honestly didn't even realize it until I don't know. But yes, welcome to episode 750, a very nice round number that most places would probably be celebrating. Welcome to episode 750 of the Bobby Blackwell Show. This is where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us here live, welcome. Thank you so much. Whether you've been here for 750 of these or this is your first one, thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. But I understand if you can't be. We do tape this show live each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us if you are able to on Sunday nights. Granted, it is Sunday night. There are usually other things going on, family things. I completely understand. That's why we're on a podcast. Which hasn't been updated yet. I'm going to get into that in a second so you can kind of understand what happened with episode 749. You can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, throughout the week. And that is where we also kind of figure out what we're going to want to talk about. In fact, our big story tonight was because of something that was posted on our Discord server. So we're going to be talking about that. And that's where you can kind of suggest things throughout the week. So I will talk about what happened last week is, and Rob Roberts says, oh, I hope the frame rate issues didn't hurt the recording. So last week, and on episode 749, there was, my upstream was terrible to Twitch because this show depends on the live audience. I really don't want to do this show if I don't have the live chat room audience. I've never really been able to do it without it. We were on internet radio before we came to Twitch, so I've actually been doing this in front of a virtual audience since 2005. I've realized it's kind of a dumb mistake is what happened. So why my upstream was so terrible and why it's always referred to in that podcast episode, because it keeps getting referred to over and over again, is I had there was a bucket truck for my internet in my neighborhood on, I think, Tuesday of last week, because some idiot contractor cut the line further up from the neighborhood from me. So they had to do a replacement so the rest of the neighborhood would get internet. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, the bucket truck came out to actually do like the real fix, and they took down everybody's internet in the neighborhood for about an hour and a half in the middle of the day on Tuesday. That was great. We're all working from home. We all had, you know, an hour and a half where we couldn't use the internet or cable or anything like that. So that caused a reboot of my modem. However, it did not reboot my modem to the settings that I normally have it set at. And I could have known this because my modem, there's lights on it, and I know which lights are supposed to be blinking, and I know and which ones aren't. And one of the lights was blinking after that reset because of the bucket truck being in the area, taking our internet down, doing maintenance. But I didn't think anything of it. Well, it turns out that all I had to do was unplug the modem for 10 seconds, plug it back in. Did you turn it off and plug it back in again? All I had to do was that. It reloaded with my actual settings. Boom, my upstream was just fine. So it was my modem that was the problem. During OLR, right, like 5 minutes after I went off the air, I actually did a power cycle of the modem, and then everything was fine. I did a Twitch test. It showed everything's great. It's been fine. Basic IT troubleshooting. The problem is, and the reason I didn't do that first, is because I didn't realize it was a problem until I had already gone on the air. So I did the best I could. Now, the recording is actually not related to that. The recording was fine. I just was busy at work, and then I had like a headache this weekend, and so I slept most of the weekend. I do not have the big C. I haven't left the house. That's not what it is. I was kind of, I just rested this weekend. So what you're going to find on the podcast feed is that like that episode's going to come up, that 749, which sounds fine. I record it completely separately. We'll have this episode come up pretty quickly after, which kind of sucks because we had a really good discussion last week about why we're seeing so many remasters and the perils of having this remote workforce when you're not used to having to work remotely in video games. And it's not about the technology, it's about the philosophy. We had a great discussion about it, so don't go back and listen to it if you have the time. If you see this episode before you, or hear this episode before you hear 749, the last one, go back and listen to it. It was actually a really good discussion that we were having, and some other opposing viewpoints I tried to express that came from our chat room as well, which is kind of what I like. I like it when there's more than one side being spoken. So yeah, so ActDev says at least it's good. It was a simple fix. Yeah, I didn't need to call anybody, but apparently my internet's had been bad all week, and Zoom didn't care. I was able to do all my work. Everything else worked fine. We were able to watch streaming TV. Everything was fine. So anyway, that's what happened last week. This week, apparently, is episode 750. It's a nice round number. I've done 750 of these. I've actually done probably more than 750 of these, but I did some, like, back when I used to go to E3, I would do unnumbered episodes, like, from E3. So, but this is the 750th numbered episode. And I honestly did not realize it until I was updating the text that's on the Twitch stream, like up top and up on the right up here. And I was like, oh, it's episode 750. Usually people, you know, put in, you know, they all party, throw a party and everything. I've got a little soundboard I never use. Usually they do that. I have nothing like that. I'm not going to be doing that. This is a normal show. I planned it out before realizing it was episode 750. But I'm still here. I still plan on doing the show for quite some time until I can't. So I thank everybody for being here, whether this is your first time or your 750th time, which there are probably some people that have been here for 700 or of those. I don't think anybody's been to all 750 except me. And even though I'm not even sure if I've been here for all 750, it's been that long. Pop Culture asks, Pixel Cameo for 750. No, she is sleeping, which is nice. Usually I can hear her like meowing outside. No, she's asleep. She's asleep on the bed. I'm not going to go wake her up. I brought her in the last time she was meowing outside the door. I'm not going to make that a habit. Xanderu's asks, can someone direct me to the non-flash backups of Friday Night Gaming? So Friday Night Gaming was the video show I did about 10 years ago. I don't think you can actually see. I don't think I can move, but the hard drive that has all those backups is on a shelf behind me. Now, I will say all the audio podcasts are available on BobbyBlackWolf.com. You can actually get all the audio versions of every, I think all 93 episodes of Friday Night Gaming. All the audio is up there, so you can get that. But I do have the flash files. But they're not like, I didn't record them. They're all FLV files, unfortunately. So they are the non-flash backups which are the MP3 backups. Those are at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Will we get a remaster of those? No. The problem is, and here's why, and it's 'cause I'm lazy. They're desynced. So I have the FLV files. I have every single FLV file at 320 by 240 or whatever really low resolution I streamed it at the time. But the audio is at a different bit rate than the video. And so it's fine at the beginning, but by the time you get to the end of the 3 hours, the audio is like 2 minutes behind. So, and I know I can convert them to another format, and then they're converted with the audio desynced. So it is possible, yes. It would take me way too long to actually do the proper conversion so it is watchable. So I have him. I have the hard drive that has every single, all 93 video files, because I stored them all locally. We had to use the Flash Media Encoder to send it up, and I just had it output to an FLV file and send up to Ustream.tv, which is what we were on at the time. I have all those. But the audio, the MP3s, are all on BobbyBlackWolf.com. You can download each of them. So that was a lot of fun. Way ahead of the time. Friday Night Gaming. It was 3 hours. So for the people who weren't here 10 years ago, and I don't blame you, Friday Night Gaming was a video show I did in 2009 and 2010. I did it on Ustream. Now, this is before Twitch. This was back when Twitch was still Justin TV. And I was like, hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a computer's, it was called the Computer Arena, and it was a LAN center. I'm going to go to the LAN center. They had a stage, and I was going to play, invite people to come in to play a new release console game, and we were going to stream it on the internet, but it was still a podcast. So we still had like a phone call, and I had the chat room. Kind of like this show, except at a live location with a live audience. We had 4 mics, 3 cameras. I was doing it like all with like FireWire setups and, you know, you like cobbling all this software together to be able to do it. I had a little capture device that captured composite, which was great because we were already getting into component HD video. So I actually have a device that that downscales component down to composite so I could capture it, but still sends component out to the TV. I spent so much money trying to get all this to work. And everybody thought I was stupid because we did it on Friday night. Did it on Friday night, and everybody's like, nobody is going to sit at their computer on Friday night and watch someone else play video games on the internet. So I got laughed out of just about everything, and even the person that ran the Computer Arena was very skeptical of this concept because I was not charging people to play the game, and his entire business model is he charges people per hour to play video games. And I was like, well, they'll come in and they'll buy food and drink and stuff because they had a, you know, food and drink station. No alcohol. They didn't get an alcohol permit. They were working on it. Then they closed. So I got laughed out on that. But then I also got another camera that I could control remotely. In fact, like if you're watching on Twitch, it's actually right here. I don't have it plugged in. But I could actually control it, pan it, and zoom it remotely. And so I put that, and I put that at the bottom left corner of the screen, and it showed the face of the person playing. So not only was people going to be watching other people playing a video game over the internet on a Friday night, I took up part of the screen to show the face of the person playing. Nobody's going to want to watch the face of the person playing the video game. Like, they're not going to want to watch someone playing a video game anyway, but now you're going to take up part of the screen and cover it with the face of the person playing? You are crazy. And I got laughed out. So basically, Computer Arena, that place kicked me out. I wasn't, you know, it was basically they wanted me to actually rent the space. They wanted me to actually pay like $450 a week to rent out the space as if it was an event rental. We weren't making enough money to do that. We moved to a classic gaming store, which was the co-host at the time. Then they kicked me out because they didn't want to have to stay open on Friday nights. So it ended. New Vogue, Cheer Goal, Best of FNG Live episode. I don't know if I could actually do that. I'm not going to make that. We'll talk about the cheering goals in just a second. Xander says, I remember the time you almost got hit by a tornado. Yeah, we actually did that. I did this during a snowstorm and actually like destroyed the computer during a snow. Like we had snow, which we don't get snow down here in Georgia. We get ice storms. And unfortunately, my house then and my house now has a hill to get down. And so I always took the computer home with me. I didn't leave it at the store. And so I was smart enough to park my car at the bottom of my driveway instead of having to try to, you know, slide down and not hit anything on the way down. So when I was trying to get my computer, get the FNG computer down to my car, I slipped and fell and cracked the case and destroyed it. So there were some fun things that happened because of Friday Night Gaming. So it was a fun 2 years. I'm glad to have my Friday nights back, though. I will say that. As Jared Matt says, someone pizza bombed them. Yeah, somebody tried. 4chan came in and raided and actually ordered pizzas because we had the location stuff, and they were kept waiting. Unfortunately, we had already ordered pizzas from that place earlier that night, and so they caught on. Like the pizza place they ordered from knew what we were doing, and so they canceled the order for us. So yeah, so that's Those were the other 93 episodes I did other than the 750 of this show, because I still did this show the same way it was on Sunday nights. So that's why I learned I can't do two shows. And I go to these podcasting conferences or Dragon Con and stuff like that where people are like, yeah, I have six podcasts that I do and all that stuff. And I applaud them for being able to do that because I can barely do this one. I've learned that I can't do that. So maybe I will try to figure out, like, because it's an old IDE hard drive and I do have like an external IDE connector. I can, you know, try to see what I can do with those FLVs now with like Premiere in 2021. But the video editing software I had in 2010 wasn't really good enough to handle those. But maybe I can do it now. Maybe we can work something out. We'll see. But something I am going to be doing in the next probably 2 weeks, it's probably going to be in 2 weeks from tonight, is it's called the VHS gaming tape stream. So what this is, so we used the channel points reward system that is on Twitch, and you could donate points toward a goal. We had a community goal, and we hit it. It took us about 3 weeks, which was, you know, about what I expected, but it is actually called the VHS gaming tape stream. Is all we, and we put a description, but essentially what it is I've been going through boxes of VHS tapes that I've had for a long time, and I found VHS tapes from the 90s of both like video game promotions. So we're talking like Sony Interactive Entertainment sent out a tape that promoting their games, and they send these in the mail to you. Promoting their games. And I'm saying Sony Interactive Entertainment because I think this was before PlayStation. They're showing off like Super Nintendo games and stuff like that. I found a Sega Saturn promotional tape. I found Nintendo had some that was like for Donkey Kong Country and something like that. So we had, so I found a lot of that stuff. But also, some of the stuff I found is I started going to E3 in 1997, which was the first year was in Atlanta. And I actually took, and I don't think I took any to 97. I know in 98 I did, but I took one of those VHS-C camcorder tapes. So it was a smaller version of VHS, and it was called VHS-C. It's the same kind of camera, I think, that Marty McFly used in Back to the Future, by the way. It's like that same JVC camera that he uses in the Back to the Future. And I took that with me to E3. I found those tapes. And I have the converter that converts VHS-C to VHS, so I can actually watch those tapes in an actual VCR. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a time, and I am going to set up a VCR right here next to me with capture equipment, and we're going to watch some of these tapes together because I don't know if these are on the internet. These may not. I mean, I think some of them are because I think SJ Matt has that Donkey Kong Country promo tape. He says, I think they sent them out Nintendo Power subscribers. That's probably how I have it. But I got it. I have it over here. And I'm sure that's probably on YouTube. Like, everybody had that one. But I might have some others that people haven't seen, or we'll talk over them. Like, I'm not going to let them just run because I don't know if that's a DMCA complaint or anything. But probably I'll run some of the E3 tapes. I have no clue what's on them. I know that I was a terrible cameraman back in the 90s. And there are probably things that I will be like, I have no clue why I got video of this. It made sense to me at the time, but I have no clue why I got video of this. And so, we're going to go into that together. I do know that we'll be safe. Like I did not put anything on there that I can't air on Twitch. Like I was too good of a kid to do that type of stuff. I was not that type of kid. So we'll have some fun, and we'll go through some of that stuff. I think I did some of this before, like a while ago. I think actually on Friday Night Gaming, I think I found I found one of these VHS-C tapes or something, and showed it on there. I had converted it to DVD because I have a VHS to DVD converter, but I haven't actually done a full conversion of these or anything because I don't know what's on them. We're going to see. Later on, I moved to one of those like DV cams, the mini DV cams that you hooked up via FireWire. And I have all those tapes too. And those are like all my tapes from like, I think E3 2002 to 2003 onward were on those. So I got a lot of stuff. And Dark Tatsuya says, I think I remember the Donkey Kong Country promo tape. They tease Killer Instinct on the Super Nintendo at the end, if I remember it right. So I haven't watched it. I put them all aside. I have like this little stack. I've even have like a GamePro like secrets tape and stuff. So I don't know. We'll look and we'll see. But that'll probably be in a week and a half. So I'm probably looking at, so tonight's March 7th. So probably not this coming week when this episode airs, but probably the next week. So keep a lookout on our Discord server, on our Twitter, VOG Network, or on my Twitter, Bobby Blackwell, for info on when that will be. Speaking of stuff that I've been doing this week, I did finally beat Persona 5 Strikers. I've been talking about that for a little bit. The only thing I wanted to mention was that it was a 44-hour runtime for me. So after 44 hours, I rolled the credits on Persona 5 Strikers. I had about 4 hours left. And it says, oh, by the way, you should do everything. I will tell you this. It'll give you kind of the hint like, oh, you should finish up everything you want to finish up before you go on. They're lying. You can actually still finish up things. There is a later portion when it's like, no, really, this is it. Then you can't go back and do anything else. So 44-hour speed run for Persona 5 Strikers. I am glad that it was the way it was. I know it's supposed to be a Musou game, like Dynasty Warriors, but it's not. It actually felt more like Kingdom Hearts, and I'm totally fine with that. There's no 4-hour fights or anything. It's not a huge, big, drawn-out battlefield. It's Kingdom Hearts, kind of, just with more enemies at once. But what I then went over to play was Maquette. So Maquette is one of the, if you have a PlayStation 5, it is the free PlayStation Plus game for the month. And this is a first-person puzzler. And it's being published by Annapurna Interactive. And the first-person puzzler, it's supposed to be a mind-bending experience of changing, changing sizes of objects. So a maquette is basically, it's a scaled down statue of something else. That's what a maquette actually is. That's pretty close to what the definition is. So you're in a world, and then in the middle of that world is a dome structure, which is a smaller version of the world. So if you have, let's say, a big cube in front of you and you can't get by, you go to the smaller version of the world and you can actually see that cube and you can go pick that cube up and move it out of the way. And then you can turn around and the cube is gone. And you can do this to like for bridges. So like you need a key and sometimes the key can be the bridge. So it's a really interesting concept and it's not the first game to do this kind of size bending type of thing. But this is kind of their interpretation of it. So it's all about infinite worlds. So you can even get, there's even a bigger version of the world outside of this. And so you need to do that a little bit as well. And I really wish there was a sprint button for those sections. In between all this is a completely unrelated story about relationships. So and it's a sad story about relationships. So I can kind of see how, you know, it may not be something, a story that you may want to hear. Because it's, you know, two people meeting and falling in love, or at least thinking they're falling in love, and then having an argument, and then it not working out. So I don't want to spoil it, but it's the standard, you know, boy meets girl, and then it doesn't work out, and boy and girl go different directions, and it's kind of sad. So if that's not something you want to experience, then this may not be the best game for you. Popcorn says, relationships, well, I'd fail that part. It's just the story. Like, that part, like, the story and the puzzles have nothing to do with each other, really. Other than the fact that, like, the environment of the puzzles kind of match where they're at in the story, kind of, sort of. But you could do one without the other. Xander says, this reminds me of The Fisherman's Tale on PlayStation VR. That's what I have heard a lot of, is that, yes, it does remind... that's something that this reminds people of. And because I have heard that before. I haven't played that game, but I have heard that before. Now, the thing that disappointed me about this, because it's a really clever concept, but then the game is not as clever as I thought it would be. So there are definitely times when I had thought that I knew exactly what they were doing. And I was like, I'm going to figure out this puzzle. And then I gave up finally, and then I looked online, which I completely forgot that they absolutely do use the PlayStation 5 feature where you can get a hint in the little thing and they'll even give you a video that shows, you know, how to do it. I completely forgot that was there. I didn't use it, so I was, you know, doing a text guide. And I looked, and it turns out the solution to the puzzle had absolutely nothing to do with how I thought they were doing the puzzle, which I thought was really clever. And it was like, no, you're going to do the exact same thing you've done before. It's just over here. And I'm like, well, that's lame. I thought it was going to be more clever than that. So it was both clever, and then sometimes it would get really frustrating. So it's not the best first-person puzzler game I've played, but it was free on PlayStation Plus for PlayStation 5. It is available on PC and PlayStation 4. It's just you got to pay for it there. I don't know exactly how much it is, but it took me about 3 to 4 hours to get through, and it was sad. Sad story. And a part of it, actually, they ditched the puzzle altogether, and it just becomes a walking simulator to tell the story. So just realize it's not a puzzle game the whole time through. So I don't know what they're trying, if they were trying to tell a story more than the puzzles or what. The voiceovers are done by an actual Hollywood couple. I forget his name. I know it's Bryce Dallas Howard. She's the woman. And it's her actual husband. They're both doing the voice acting. She's been an actor. She's Ron Howard's daughter. She directed an episode of The Mandalorian season one. She's been in her own movies. He's been in movies, and I completely blanked on his name. I apologize. They do a fine job. It's very much a movie style relationship in terms of how it's delivered. But it gets the point across. So, I liked it. I don't know if I would have paid for it, but it was there with PlayStation Plus. So a game that I wanted to talk about, this story was brought up on our Discord because it's like, I didn't see that much real big news this week other than like Super Smash Brothers. The new characters came out finally, played with them for a little bit. They were from Xenoblade Chronicles too. Pyra and Mythra, I believe, are the two names. So they came out, and so that's kind of the game stuff news, but not really other big news that I could think of came out. But this story was super interesting to me, and I wanted to kind of talk about this. So this is about a game. It's called The Sinking City. Now, The Sinking City, it is an adventure game, action-adventure game, based on... or not really an action-adventure game, but an adventure game based on H.P. Lovecraft. So here's what happened, is that the developer and the publisher are kind of at odds with The Sinking City. So Vice reports that The Sinking City was removed from Steam and other storefronts last year, the result of an ongoing legal conflict between developer Frogwares and publisher Nacon. Tensions between the companies have been wildly escalated recently, with The Sinking City reappearing on Steam without Frogwares' approval. And yesterday, the developer accused Nacon of hacking its game code and uploading an illegal version of the game to Steam. Questbus says, "I've played Sinking City. It's all right, but if you're a Lovecraft fan, you might get more mileage out of it." So it actually came out, I think, in like 2019 or 2020, something like it came out a while ago and then was pulled from just about all the digital storefronts. So it was on PlayStation. It was on Xbox like 2 years ago, and it got pulled from all of them except for the Nintendo Switch, because Frogwares, the developer, published it by themselves on the Switch. But it was on Steam, and they basically the contract with the publisher apparently ran out. So at the time of the accusation, The Sinking City was still on Steam, but that changed when the game was no longer available. So the game was removed as the result of a DMCA takedown notice from Frogwares, according to Steam. So the developer of The Sinking City DMCA'd their own game off of Steam because the publisher, the developer claims no longer has the rights to the game, the publisher published it without their consent. So Valve VP of marketing Doug Lombardi said in a statement to Vice saying, quote, "The Sinking City has been in dispute in French courts for a while. An interim decision last fall appeared to give Nacon the rights to distribute the game on Steam while the litigation proceeded. However, today we received a DMCA takedown notice for the version that Nacon recently shipped, so we have responded to the notice," unquote. So Frogwares put out a statement saying, quote, regarding our use of the DMCA to remove the game from Steam, we believe in a very short time we were able to collect extremely strong evidence to indicate this version of the game was pirated and contains content that NatCon absolutely has no rights to, namely the Merciful Madness DLC. A DMCA notice proved to be our most effective tool to give us time to gain further potential evidence and to also start the required and lengthy additional legal processes to prevent this from happening again. We are aware that a final ruling on whether Frogwares is obligated to deliver a Steam version has not yet been made and could take years. As it stands, we have an appeals court ruling saying until further notice, Frogwares does not need to deliver a Steam version to NatCon. In the meantime, NatCon decided to take justice into their own hands and release a pirated build. We are also aware that the DMCA claim on this Steam version may only be a temporary fix and that that the game may make a comeback in this form or another. Providing partners like Valve with finalized rulings and third-party verified evidence so they can make their final decision takes time and resources. If, in the meantime, they decide they have to continue selling the game, we can only respect that while continuing to speak to them and provide them with more information. Separately, NatCon said that, quote, repeatedly and unsuccessfully requested that Frogwares make the game unavailable on Steam, or make it available on Steam, failing which it would apply a clause in the contract wherein such a case where the game could be adapted by a third party, unquote. So NatCon basically just said, yes, we did exactly what they said, but it's within our contractual rights. When the game popped back up on Steam, the news section for The Sinking City included a tweet from Frogwares advising fans not to purchase that version of the game. So, PC Gamer actually had a little bit more detail on this, and this is what's fascinating. This is why I like want to talk about this, and because this is amazing. So PC Gamer says so. There's a lengthy post that shows the dispute, which led the studio to repeatedly refuse to deliver an updated master version of The Sinking City for release on Steam. That matter is currently in the courts, and a decision may not be made for quite some time. So, on February 26th, though, NatCon uploaded a version to Steam. Now, Frogwares claims the version that they put on Steam is actually a build that it had specifically prepared for release on GamesPlanet, cracked, and slightly modified to remove logos and other related content. The studio alleges that NatCon decompiled the game using a key to get around the Unreal Engine encryption system, which Frogwares says is not DIY work by inexperienced people. This is done by programmers who know Unreal well. After that, it was apparently a matter of modifying some config files, making a few other changes, and then recompiling the game for release on Steam. The studio says that it can prove this happened because it downloaded the Steam version released by NatCon and tried its existing encryption key on the archive, and it worked. They said, quote, the hackers didn't even care to use a different encryption key than the one we created when recompiling, unquote. It also claims it knows how NatCon acquired the key, but that's for the courts. So, they talk about how they changed, like, some splash screens and stuff like that, and, it goes on a little bit more. But essentially what wound up happening was that NatCon purchased the version from GamesPlanet. So GamesPlanet and Steam are not at fault here. They purchased it from GamesPlanet. And then they decompiled it, changed a few things, recompiled it, and uploaded it to Steam. And it's not even the latest version of the game. Frogwares says, quote, NatCon has proved they're willing to do anything possible to serve their interests, including illegal actions. They ignored the decision of the justice and bypassed them, pirating The Sinking City in order to deceive their partners, Steam, in the first place. There are long-term damages we need to take care of. NatCon unpacked our data, stole our source code, and used it. NatCon can create a new version of The Sinking City using our assets. They can resell, reuse, recycle our content and our tools, etc. We have to take the measure of what happened now and follow the best path on the legal side to prevent anything like this from happening again, unquote. And NatCon tried to take the side of the gamers and says, quote, we regret that Frogwares persists in disrupting the release of The Sinking City. It's easy to play the victim, but all we seek is that Frogwares respect its commitments, both in the contract as demanded by the courts. In regards to feedback on the release of The Sinking City on Steam, this is an official and complete version. However, due to a lack of cooperation with Frogwares, we are unable to integrate Steam-specific features such as cloud saving and achievements. Thus, this version only contains the base game without any additional content. Despite this, we have organized this release so that fans on Steam can enjoy the game, unquote. So this I just think is like just super interesting because it's, you know, a publisher, the publisher bought the game somewhere else, decompiled it, changed a few things and uploaded it. And they're like, well, no, we're very much well in their rights to do that. And it's not even a great game. Questmaster even says it's super janky. Paleohanamea says, I really enjoyed Sinking City, even if the combat was janky as hell. And Questmaster says it was super janky. Also, there's ways to get unlimited supplies, but the atmosphere was really neat. So it's, but it's just, it's interesting that this is happened in this way and that it's about, you know, the contracts and contractually, because yes, the publisher Nacon actually did have the contract apparently until April of 2020. Then the contract was not renewed, but Nacon's like, no, it's still ours. It's ours. We published it, even though the developer's not helping us with it anymore. This does happen in the game industry, but not as publicly as this, and usually not after the game has been published. It happens a lot of times. I have seen and heard of like a game that a developer was working on, which was like that developer's baby. It was like maybe based on their IP. And I'm trying to be very, very vague because the person who I'm talking about probably listens to the show, and I don't want to air any kind of names on this. But, you know, it's like, it's their baby. They've been working on the computer game version of it for a while, and they had a contract dispute with the publisher who then took that game that was their IP, and it's like the guy who created the IP, and basically gave the game to another developer in like Australia. And the game never came out. The game was shown at E3. It was shown, you know, there were preview builds and stuff, but the game never came out, but because the publisher took the rights to the game, gave it to somebody who didn't know the IP at all, and then just they canceled the project. But they took it away from the developer that was working on it. So this happens, but usually not in such a way where it's so public and usually not after release. So I just think this is fascinating how this all happened. And I hope that it gets solved. I don't know. I don't see the contracts, so I don't know which side's really quote unquote at fault. It might be that both sides did wrong things. I don't know. I really only know the one side, the side of the developer. They may have broken a contract. The publisher may be well within their rights to do this. I don't know. But to go and pirate the game, decompile it, and then recompile it somewhere else, that happens on app stores all the time on the iPhone and on iOS and Android. So if you got the Sinking City on Steam, I'm not going to say Stinking City. I haven't played the game. Apparently, like I said, it's okay. It didn't get bad reviews. It just got average to good reviews. The Sinking City on Steam, you might have been playing a pirated version of it or a bad version of it. It is available on the Nintendo Switch, self-published by Frogware. So that's probably the definitive version right now is the Switch version. We are going to take a quick music break, and then maybe we'll have a chance to take a call or two. I don't know. Go over to our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. There is a Green Room voice chat channel. If you hop into the Green Room, then I will be able to know that you want to call in. And then I can pull you into another room, and we'll have a nice little call, nice little chat about anything going on in the gaming industry, because I didn't really cover any news that happened this week. But we can do that. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Mexican, Act Deaf, and you're participating in the Bobby Blackwell Show. Whether he's right or wrong, his opinion is always something worth listening to. Except for the music breaks. Those sometimes suck.
How dare you, Act Deaf? You make fun of my music breaks. You say that they're not worth listening to. How dare you? Give F's in the chat for Act Deaf's opinion of my music break. How about that? Or I could just hit that. I could hit my little buzzer on my soundboard that I don't pay for on this. ActF says, I really need to update that bumper. The audio sounds so bad. That is an old bumper. I don't know. Let's see here. It looks like 2016. Most of my bumpers are from 2016. So if you want to leave a bumper in 2021, contact me on the Discord server and we'll figure out. It can be a video bumper because we're on video on Twitch, but most of them are audio bumpers, and I still accept audio bumpers. We are an audio podcast. Most people are here audio only. So, say something about coming back or participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. We can chat on the Discord server and figure out how to get the files back and forth. I used to give an email address out. That still works, but we'll just contact me either on Twitter or use the social medias and stuff like that. I do want to mention that I am a proud member of the Georgia Influencers Network, which is kind of a network of like Twitch streamers, YouTube streamers, Instagrammers and stuff that are in the game industry or stream games, tweet about games and stuff. So this week actually is the Georgia Game Developer Association is actually doing a really interesting stream with somebody who was a part of my childhood, Larry Elmore. So Larry Elmore is I remember him mostly from reading novels back in the 80s. He was the cover artist for like the Dragonlance novels and for a lot of the TSR novels that were based on Dungeons and Dragons properties like Dragonlance, Forgotten Realms, stuff like that. So Larry Elmore, he's one of the most recognized names in game art, and he's doing a workshop with the Georgia Game Developer Association and to show about how he does character art. So on March 9th at 2 p.m., so that's this coming Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, March 9th, there's going to be a character art demo as Larry lets everybody join him as he completes his Women of Dragonlance painting. So he's actually doing a painting of Dragonlance characters, and he's going to be doing it live over at youtube.com/GeorgiaGameDevs. So you can check that out there. That's going to be Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern, and he's going to probably be taking actual comments and questions and stuff from chat. So and Fifth Dream says Snarf. Yes, he also did Snarf Quest and Snarf, all that stuff, because there was a point-and-click adventure game that he worked on with a local developer here in Georgia. We've actually had him on a couple times talk about Snarf Quest Tales, which is now on Steam. But Larry Elmore, he's doing a painting, The Woman of Dragonlance, and he's going to be working on it live on stream over at youtube.com/GeorgiaGameDevs. Questbuster also says he did the original art for the Redbox version of the D&D box set. Yes, and he's a super nice guy. I've met him several times. He goes to Dragon Con every year, so I go and see James Simpson, who's the game developer, and Larry Elmore is usually right there. I've had him like sign books and stuff. So he's a really cool person. Gotten to meet him a couple times, and he does great artwork. And I have a lot of his original artwork because I used to read Dragonlance novels back in the 80s, even though I'm 29. But I have a lot of Dragonlance novels. I was into those as a kid. Fisher says, I back Snarf Quest Tales. Thank you so much for doing that. He's a good person. I hope you enjoyed it. So I do not see anybody in the green room, so we're not going to be taking any calls tonight. But coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them and see what's going on. And I'm going to actually see if there was actually anything else that I missed going on in the gaming industry, because I was like, this might be a slow news week because I didn't see that much. But Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am actually in some good I can actually like see my hands and stuff. Like it's the bit rate's not bad, so I'm having a good day.
Yeah, you doing better than you were last week, although yes. from my perspective doing these calls, everything was fine.
Yeah. There was a little bit more of a delay. That was the difference. Yeah. Like I could hear it on my side. It's like I would end a sentence and it would take you like kind of like how you see on TV nowadays. Like there's 4 seconds and then you respond. Uh-huh. But because it was compensating. But No, everything's fine now. So we're back on track for episode 750 that I honestly didn't even realize it until I was typing it in. I'm like, wait a minute. It's 750. Dang it.
Tech problems, they happen. Yes. But congratulations on 3/4 of the way to 1,000.
Yeah. yeah, maybe I'll make it to 1,000. I didn't think I would.
I know. Isn't that weird? Because I'm in the same position. I think we used to joke about episode 1,000, and now it's like, that might actually happen.
Yeah. And hopefully by then we could actually do something in person.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully with all the hopefully OLR is back in person. I mean, you know, things look hopeful over the next couple months for those types of things. So just, you know, gotta make sure we get everybody vaccinated and get those numbers down and all that good stuff.
Yep. It's looking good though. It's looking good. So did I miss I was looking, I'm like, there didn't seem to be that much like big news this week, or maybe was I just blind to it, really?
Well, you don't talk about rumors, really, and that Switch Pro rumor has been gaining a lot of steam this week because a major publication that doesn't always talk about gaming, it's more of a financial, it's Bloomberg, ran a piece on it. So it's gaining a lot of, you know, it's where there's smoke, there's fire type of traction this week. It's no longer, you know, oh, my uncle who works at Nintendo type of thing. It's you know, the Bloomberg reporting behind it is giving it a little more kind of oomph. So there's definitely that. I would say the biggest story, I'll go ahead and mention what we're going to talk about at the top of our show this week. At least I think so. Some would argue this isn't really about gaming, but I would say the headline about the PlayStation Store is going to be ending video purchases and video rentals, I think is a really big sign of a change in the industry and what those boxes are really for in our living room, especially, you know, when the PlayStation 4 and specifically the Xbox One were really announced as movies, TVs, TV, sports, and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. It does seem like Sony has surrendered the war a bit to the Netflixes of the world, Hulus, the Paramount Plus now, which is really just CBS All Access under a new name, but HBO Max, you know, it's like all these streaming services now, which is a whole other issue. But I think because especially you have a lot of first run movies coming to streaming services, like what you see happening with Disney, right? Because they just had one this weekend, if I recall correctly. Paramount Plus has announced the window's going to be 30 to 45 days now on first run movies. So I think because a lot of these services are trying to embed early first run movies as part of a perk, I think the space for something like Sony to get into that market without a streaming service of their own, which I'm kind of surprised they haven't done, knock on wood. I'm not talking about PlayStation now. I'm talking about movies and games. Movies. Without all that, I think that there's little reason for people to be paying $20 to purchase, you know, Spider-Man or whatever the newest Sony thing is, or even rent it.
Do they own Crackle?
Oh, good call. I think Crackle is theirs. You're right. But the fact that I forgot about it should tell you something.
And the fact that I'm putting a question mark, I'm still not positive that they own Crackle, but I thought.
I believe you're right.
Okay. I could be wrong, but I believe I'm right, too. But yeah, but also, like, you know, for movies, like, you know, rental movies, you have Vudu, which is part of Movies Anywhere, or you can buy on Amazon Prime, you know, when they're in their rental window. So there are other options that are available to PlayStation customers, and that way Sony doesn't have to worry about. Because we've talked about on this show or on our shows because of some listeners that have had some issues with this, with the DRM. Of Sony movies expiring on them. They bought a movie or a TV show on Sony, and the DRM, they lost the rights to it, and they had to fight Sony for it, and they were not very happy about it, about this, and it was not resolved to their satisfaction. So maybe, you know, this is a way that Sony can kind of get out of having to deal with that, because now there are other options for the same thing.
You bring up something I didn't even think of, and that's a very good point. I wonder what this individual thinks of this news that's happened here. I'd be very curious.
Well, I don't think they have a PlayStation anymore, so
yeah,
I think it would be a good. I think it would be a good riddance type of thing.
Yeah,
right. I don't want to speak for this person, but I think it would be a good riddance type of thing. Phoenix 776 says Vudu's owned by Walmart. So, but Vudu is. I bring that up because they actually have like the 4K. Video movie rentals, so like that's where, like, if I, because I still I did not watch the Bill and Ted's movie when it came out, but like that's where I was going to get it from, was Vudu, because they had the 4K version, whereas PlayStation Store and Xbox Store didn't have the 4K version or something like that. It was all kind of weird, but yeah, that's why I mentioned them.
So, I was just to say, there's Questbuster with the live fact checking there. Sony sold their stake in Crackle, and apparently Crackle is owned by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. Is that, I didn't even know that was a thing. That sounds like the Hallmark Channel.
There we go. Recipe for seduction right there. But yeah, okay, so we were kind of right. Sony was Crackle, and now they're not. So
now they're not.
So we were both right and wrong at the same time.
Yeah. How is that possible? I think it'll also be very interesting. Honestly, the bloat in the PlayStation Store, especially still on a PlayStation 4, which you would think PlayStation 4 is not exactly, an old thing. And the store used to run fine on it. I don't know what's happened over the years, but the store is so bloated. It's difficult to navigate and kind of slow. Perhaps removing the video and stuff will help in that regard, just keeping the focus on the games and I suppose the apps.
Yeah. And Tiger Law says this is why physical media will always be here. I hope that's the case. I know there are people that are wishing for the death of physical media, but I love my 4K Blu-rays, and because my data cap loves my 4K Blu-rays. So it's nice, and it's also a better quality because they can put more, it's a higher bit rate on the 4K Blu-ray than you get from 4K streaming. So,
well, what's old is new again. Like, there's still people that buy and really love buying vinyls records. Like, that's a big thing now.
Yeah.
And so, what's old is new again. So I think there is always going to be a space for physical media for collectors. And, if you really love movies and games, you're probably a bit of a collector, and that's fine.
Yep. Tiger Claw says you can buy vinyl at Walmart. Yeah, you can now buy vinyl more places. I actually just bought vinyl a week ago. I got the Strong Bad Sings on vinyl. It's supposed to be coming this week. It got shipped at the end of the week. So I get the Strong Bad Sings on vinyl. So that'll probably be sitting behind me instead of this book, which I haven't mentioned this book that's been behind me for the past 2 weeks because last week I had the bitrate issue. So I just reused the same set. This is a book I found on my bookshelf back at my parents' house and I'm keeping. It's called The Whole Internet. And it is so here's the thing, and it's an O'Reilly book. So in tech circles, if you say O'Reilly book, that's exactly what this is. But this came out in 1993. So this is about how you use FTP and Gopher and Archie. And it does talk about the World Wide Web and about hypertexting your life and stuff. So it really is like everything you can do on the internet in this one book. And I just thought this was hilarious. And so
the internet was very different in the early days, but kind of fun.
Yep. And it even goes into how to debug why your email didn't get sent. And it talks about the error codes and stuff, the stuff that we don't think about anymore. It's still there. It's just, our programs do it for us. And how to ping things and how to, so it's interesting. I have other books. I have Internet After Dark is one of the other books that I'm going to put behind me just for fun, because it's all the dark stuff you can do. And remember, this is a book from 1993 or 1994. Mm-hmm. So I'll have some fun and go through those at some point. What else is going to be? And I want to mention this also. Phoenix 7726 says it's odd that it's sometimes easier to find a vinyl record than a new CD. And I personally, now that I've gotten back into records, I actually prefer to buy a vinyl of a new release because that often comes with the MP3 download. So you get the vinyl record, and then you also get the high-quality MP3 download that you can put on your device or whatever. So they do that. What else is going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
All right. Well, some of the other big news highlights. The Wii U gets a system update after how many? And here we thought Nintendo was completely done with the Wii U, but they got a new system update. Too bad it sounds like it didn't really do anything useful.
Hackers.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about useful for Nintendo, not useful for the rest of us. Talking about Diablo 2 a little bit, I think this is pretty cool. You want to talk about the internet back in 93? Okay, maybe not that far back. But if you still have some save files for Diablo from back in the day, the old Diablo save files will work in the new one. And I think that is pretty cool. Plus, we're going to talk about a game that is coming to arcades, a pretty popular console and PC game getting an arcade release in a pandemic. But I guess we're all hopeful that, in the coming months, it'll be less of a big deal and we can go to arcades again, hopefully.
The round one that was being built in the mall that's near me just opened.
Oh, fun. They were building one here too, and I'm still curious, like, what, because that should have been open a year ago, but womp womp, we all know what happened. So I'm very curious where that's at, because then I don't have to drive to the Bay Area, because the closest one to me is probably Concord, and that's a good hour, 15 minutes if there's no traffic, which is, you know.
Yeah.
And you know how California Bay Area traffic can be. I know you've been in it.
Yep. And for the Atlanta residents, it's at Cumberland Mall, which ironically is the mall that is connected by a sky bridge to the place where Southern Fried Gaming Expo is. So it's connected to that same Cobb Galleria complex, but it's in Cumberland Mall. It also has a bowling alley. It's the whole nine yards, but it did just open. So that is closer to the north side of Atlanta, whereas the other round one that's in the Atlanta area is like way down south and east. Like, it's kind of a drive for those of us in North Atlanta, and Atlanta is 2 hours away from Atlanta. So that's why it mentions it. That's why it's important. It probably still takes me 2 hours to get there, and it's only like 20 miles away from this new version.
Well, it takes me 4.5 hours in a metal tube in the sky. So
Xanderoos asks, what is round one? So round one arcades is, it's the one at least at that mall is, it's kind of like a Dave and Buster's or a Main Event Entertainment, where they've also got a bowling alley and stuff. But round one, what they do differently with their arcade is they bring in a lot of the Japanese music games. So you get like the imported, like for me, the Beatmania 2DXs, or you'll get the Poppin' Music, as well as the Ticket Spinners and all that other stuff. But like Dave and Buster's won't have a lot of the music games, the Japanese music games. Round one actually does have a lot of the imported games. Am I kind
of
characterizing
it? It's a Japanese company, so yeah. And no food at round one. Well, bar and like, you know, finger food at a bar.
Yeah, this one has a bar. Like,
yeah.
So once I get the jab, maybe I'll go down and check it out.
So, great. Jealous.
Orange Sounds Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Join us live and interact with the show directly. Like I said, if you want to leave a bumper or if you want to redo a bumper that you did before, trust me, I can find the same music for underneath. Send me something with just your voice. It can be either a video or an audio file. We'll talk about it on Discord. You can just reach out there in the Bobby Blackwell Show text chat channel, and we can coordinate on that. Leave it without the music because I want to be able to pick which music I feel safe playing here on the show, so we don't get DMCA'd. But that would be great. Facebook.com/Bobby Blackwell, Twitter @BobbyBlackwell, Instagram @BobbyBlackwell, Twitch @BobbyBlackwell, or check out the VOG Network Twitch channel, or keep track on our Discord, and I will let you know when we plan on doing that VHS gaming stream. It will be an extra stream here on VOG Network, not put out as a podcast. It'll only be available here on Twitch. You'll be able to watch it live, but if you're subscribed to the Twitch channel, you'll be able to watch the video on demand of it. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the support of the chatters. So thank you so much to everybody who either followed or contributed during the show with Twitch bits or subscriptions. So thank you so much. We did get some a new follow, SMG Network. Thank you for the follow. And Marissimo gifted a sub to VO by Kurt. Thank you so much for that. But you being here is really the best support we could have. If you want to contribute subscriptions or bits, or go to our shop over at vognetwork.com/shop and buy a t-shirt or a sticker, that's completely extra, and that is on you. You being here is the best. That's the best I can ask for, and I'm so happy that you're here. I am now going to hit this button so the music starts playing and I get out of here. So take care of yourself, wash your hands, wear a mask. If you get offered to take the jab, get the jab, take it. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.